Okay, this is Chairman Brad Holton. I'll bring the meeting back to order. This is for our 9:30 agenda time. We will be doing fiscal year 2025 on Facilities Department, Weed and Pest Department. So, take it away.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, Commissioners. I'll just kind of start out with, I had one change, if I can ask, on the B budget. After kind of reviewing some of the numbers, kind of year-to-date where I'm at right now, and going over some of the Fair Expo events and the Fairgrounds events and getting with Director Center, I would like to add just another $10,000, so I have it up here on the janitorial. Last year, that was our first year of taking it over, so after having more conversations with Director Center, last year we didn't put a lump sum in my budget for the fair itself for janitorial supplies. So for every fair, it comes in right around about $6,000 to $7,000 what we spend for janitorial, and that's liners, that's our paper supplies, soaps and everything for that 4-day event for the fair. So again, last year I didn't have that in there, so already this year my budget's pretty much gone for janitorial. So what I would like to do, I did an increase for fiscal 25 already for the new elections building, new warehouse. But after reviewing kind of where we're sitting with some of the Fair Expo events this year, I mean, this was our first full year with events. It really stays kind of where we're at with our janitorial supplies. So I would like to increase that to $87,000 if possible, just to kind of stay within budget of all the supplies and all the events that's going on. And not only that, that's part of the parks budget as well. So everything that goes on at the parks, like all their events and stuff, even at celebration, everything, all their field trips, all that is included in here as well for janitorial supplies.
All right.
Just curious if anybody has any questions on that. And that's the only reason I asked for an increase on that.
Which line item is that?
That line item is 554410, janitorial supplies. That's in the B budget.
Okay. We'll put that in.
Any questions on there?
If that's what it's costing, let's get it covered.
You know, when you got some of these expo events, I mean, bringing in 3,000 to 4,000 people, I mean, it doesn't take long to go through the paper supplies.
Right.
Any questions on the B at all? I mean, that was the only thing that was different for me. If not, we'll just jump into the capital and kind of go through some changes. And we eliminated a few things on there. There is one for the elections building. Once I get the capital, I'll come back to this word sheet right here and kind of defines a little bit on that facility. So,
all right, let's do it.
All right, so here's the capital. So this is after a conversation with the chief and I, and just kind of going through some of the priorities and some of the things that I could cut out, and some of the stuff that we've looked at, you know, cutting out. That we can kind of go through. So starting out with just like the DSD, I mean, we did have a number in there, 16,095 before. We did eliminate their glass that they were requesting, the Insta-Quilt, and there is some lighting that I'm going to keep in, but I'm going to take that out of my building supplies and materials. I will be compensated back because there's a lighting rebate from Idaho Power on that for LED lights. So that's why I'm keeping that in there, because it'll pretty much pay for itself.
I'm in support of the change, Mr. Chairman.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Moving down, I'm keeping the 6,500 in there that I had for the misdemeanor probation. or sorry, juvenile probation, going straight down from there, the $26,000 for the juvenile detention center. Again, these locks, I can't get parts and pieces for these locks anymore. And there's just some safety concerns with some shades and some flooring that has to be replaced. That there's some safety issues on that as well. Moving down to the fleet, again, leaving that in there because that'll pay for itself. That's their T5s in there now. The form that we got from Idaho Power almost pays for the whole thing as well. So it's right at the $5,700. So that's kind of a wash. Assessor's office, I did leave $7,500 in there. So we did have some cabinets and doing some of their projects this last year and the year prior, or this current year and last year, I should say. We need to finish up a few cabinets and some pieces up in the assessor's office. So I left $7,500 in there to purchase material and to finish that out. Moving straight down, the next one. The auto openers for front doors, assessor's office and treasurer's office. I feel this is a big need. Again, we have a lot of elderly coming up, and to try to open those doors, if they're with a cane or a walker or whatever, at least they can hit the button and it automatically opens for them.
So we don't have those right now?
No. We have them at our main front doors of the buildings, but not into an individual office. If it's something that the offices work out where they keep the doors open, I don't know. I mean, we'd have to reach out to the treasurer and the assessor on that and go through that if that's a concern with that product there.
So, Chairman and Director, it's just the interior doors.
It's just their front door of both the treasurer and the front door of the assessor's office.
Okay, thank you.
And so there'll be a button from the inside to open it up and one on the outside from the open on both areas.
Thank you.
Yep. Next one, parks, I had $11,500 in there. So after looking at some of my funding and stuff for this year, I do have some extra funds in my HVAC budget to buy the heater. So I'll just go ahead and get that purchase out of this year's budget. And then the insulation, I will be able to take it out of this year's budget as well. So we zeroed that out for next year. Again, you know, this is so early. Once we go through the early process of this and now kind of seeing where we're at, we got 2 months left. So I see that I have some extra funds on that. So I left the $15,000 in for parks for the lighting for the upper dam. I mean, this is a safety security issue. There's no lighting in that parking lot. Moving straight down, I don't know if you guys want me to go through or just kind of want me to hit the ones that we made changes on.
Hit the ones you made changes on.
Okay. The Dell Hell, the jail control room upgrade, we went ahead and took that out as we will look at doing that in the next couple years and coming up with a little better plan and design. I know talking with the captain of the jail, he has a plan to kind of move it up toward the front of that visitation area, area, so that way they can see the exterior, the front door.
Okay.
So once we kind of get that, so our next jail tour will kind of show you what we're looking at.
That's this Friday, right?
Mm-hmm. I believe so, yes.
Okay. All right.
Next one down, this is the big one. So the misdemeanor probation moving into the old elections building. I'm going to go back to that word sheet real quick. So on here, so we did go through, we cut out some windows, we cut out some exterior windows and some stuff that we thought we could reduce this cost. We got it down closer, right around the $120,000 mark. Again, I feel there's HVAC that I can, so that with 13 offices in this facility, I can't just have two air units feeding the whole thing because what's going to happen is every office is going to be different. So we just have a piece of equipment, an HVAC equipment that's around $20,000. What that does is helps the airflow for each one, so they can control their own individual office. It'll help eliminate any concerns of, hey, I'm cold, I'm hot, I'm cold, I'm hot. what happens when you do bigger rooms and you break them out into individual offices, that happens quite a bit. So we always have to kind of look out, how can we balance this air in each office? And so that piece of equipment, I'll be able to purchase that out of my HVAC budget this year. So that'll eliminate that. Then there's two other things. So first one, I did have $50K in fiscal 24 budget for City of Caldwell for fiber pole. As you guys can tell, there's still conduit sitting out here on Albany. So I don't see that getting done anytime soon. So I would like to see if we could use that $50,000 toward the elections. And when that happens, even though we're looking at the elections office not moving until probably January, February, I would like to purchase all the material and stuff and store it in our new warehouse this year. So that would, I'd be able to take it out of 24. And then the other one is I was $50,000 for a maintenance shop awning. So as we got a lot of this new sheriff's building and stuff, I need to upsize, kind of grow my wood shop, expand it. So what we're looking at doing is putting my fab shop in this awning outside, because I have a fabrication shop and a wood shop in our area. So I was going to move it outside there, but now if the polyform, or if we could look at purchasing this property, I can join a fab shop for both the flea shop and myself in one area. And then I wouldn't need that $50,000 at our maintenance shop. And so I would like to take that $50,000 and put it toward that project as well, if possible. And so right now, so that puts us I can almost pay for everything out of this year's budget where I'm at. And we wouldn't have to get in there. Talking with the chief and I, we did go through, and we came up with there is always miscellaneous stuff, that things that pop up, $30,000 in this year's budget, just to help facilitate if there's anything that I need to purchase on that. I'm hoping pretty much everything I can get out of this year, but there's always things that pop up once in a while that is unforeseen. So any questions? I know that was kind of a big one. Any questions on that facility? And I want to kind of get into why this is a big priority, a big deal for me. This is one thing I'm really asking. Not only for the space needs, this will help with a lot of our parking. It's not going to fix a lot. I mean, you know, 20 cars is a big deal around here. We have 10 to 13 staff parking over there now. I can move them to their own parking at this elections building. Now the clients that come into misdemeanor probation, they'll have their own parking up front of that facility as well, instead of parking on the street, parking in here, taking away space from our county employees, from our staff, and some of the public. Talking with the captain of the jail, once this new sheriff's building gets completed, I know we get a lot of transports and everything parking up front here. Working it out with them, we're going to make sure all the sheriff transports everybody aren't able to park. They can start parking at pod 5 over to the parking lot across the street next to our bullpen. That'll open up some parking for juvenile probation, juvenile detention, because a lot of these individuals are here all night. That'll open up some of these where they're close by instead of walking across the street, which creates a security issue and stuff in the middle of the night if they're going to lunch or going to go grab something at 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. It keeps them close to our facility. Again, they will be across the street, close to the, you know, on the other side of Albany Street between the railroad tracks and Albany. So that's one of my big concerns, not only space, and then it opens up for juvenile probation and move up to misdemeanor probation. I've talked to Elda, the director over Catalino over in juvenile probation. She has a lot of different programs and stuff that she wants to add, but she doesn't have the space to add them. This will open up more programs that she can bring in for these kids. So it's a big need. So I just see the growth of it, and not only get misdemeanor probation away from a juvenile detention center and a lot of juveniles are. So we're putting adults in where juveniles are as well. So it kind of separates them. So any questions on that?
Nope.
Okay.
Chief?
Mr. There's also on the roulette, the elections building, the remodel, there's going to be some storage, I think, for mattresses.
You're correct. Sorry, I didn't read that. So there is a, so right now where they store all their equipment on the backside, there's one big shop area, and then there's another smaller room in the backside of it. That's a decent sized room. Part of my plan for the jail, annex jail demo in the next few years is to get supply and get everybody out of there. We're moving laundry out here shortly. Supply is the next thing to go. So part of this elections building, there's a spot in there that I can store all the mattresses and all the jail supplies in it. So we will add an exterior door for the jail supply to be able to get in there and store their product. Again, that's another phase for me to tear down this annex jail, is to get them out and keep moving forward. So, again, it's going to be multi-use. And Mr. Breach over at Ms. Miro Probation Director there was happy to share some of that. So, again, a lot of teamwork and a lot of effort moving forward with everybody. So, thank you for bringing that up. Kind of just moving down the list. So the next one, I did have $25,000 to kind of finish out our awning. If we're able to purchase property, I take that $25,000 out, because again, I wouldn't need that for that fab shop. moving down DMV, there was a stove with hood, new bathroom counter, new lighting. Again, we're looking at just areas to cut. I'll still redo the bathroom counter, but I will take that out of my building maintenance and supplies and be able to do that. And again, replacing the lighting in the area of the, on the motor vehicle side, there will be a rebate with that lighting replacement as well. Again, it's almost a dollar for dollar. It's pretty dang close. I mean, it's a really good budget or rebate on those. Right now, if you go down in there, down at the motor vehicle, a lot of the lights are out. They have them out just because of the glare and everything. I mean, and anymore, the light bulbs are increased. They've almost doubled in price in the last 2 years for one lamp. I mean, they're very expensive. We used to get them for like $1.60, and they're probably closer to three something now. So. The next one down, conversations, assessor's office, storefront, conversation with chief and everything. We took out the $50K for all the storefront material and glass for assessors. Moving down from there, the old fair building, the re-roof was $166,000. We took it out. This is something that we can look down the road to do in the next 3 to 5 years. Everything else is kind of staying in there. We do have one for that jail kitchen replacement of the floor. Again, this is a big safety concern as the ceramic tile is chipping and coming apart. Fire sprinklers. This is one that I did ask to see if we could roll over for this year, because there's no way we're going to get it done in fiscal 24.
So, Mr. Chairman. So really, in the description, this is going to be the first year. Just
yes.
Okay.
I will fix that and update it and get that set back.
I just wanted to double check that this wasn't an additional $250 on top of.
No, it's not.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
No worries.
Chairman,
yes.
And then director, there. I don't have the information yet, so I don't know what it looks like. But there has been some exploration of grant funding for that. So, did you?
Yeah, so Mr. Chair, Commissioner Van Beek, so that's something, yeah, I was going to bring up as toward the end, but Constituent Services, Aaron, William, and myself have kind of researched it. It won't work in it.
Okay.
A lot of that grant that was available is for really small counties, and
gotcha.
They're only looking at giving out, and it's a 50-50 match, and they're only maybe a couple thousand here and there.
Oh.
Nothing like what we're, we were hoping.
Okay, thanks for the feedback on that.
If you go through the process, it wouldn't be worth our time to do it.
Right, okay, thanks for the feedback.
Yeah, I know it wasn't good news, but sorry. Moving down to the next one, elevator mod change. We went ahead and took that out. That is something that can wait and push it down the road. Next one there is the pod six. I mean, pod six we left in there just till we find out what we're doing with that. So we'll kind of skip on down. Resealed coating that has to be in there. A couple things at the DMV parking lot project entrance expansion. This is something the chief and I really talked about. We have $15,000 to increase the size of one of their entrances. Phil, this could wait, and we could try to look at this down the road here. Okay. So we took that one out. Next one, DMV parking lot raised concrete. We already had somebody come out, and I already have them, had them foam it, and they did some grinding to some concrete as well. There is a little project in their front lobby area that they like to do, but I have the funds in my building maintenance supplies to be able to take care of it. It's a smaller project, so just a couple thousand dollars worth that I can do. So we went ahead and just took that completely out. The next one, I know we were looking at this grounds, $34,150 for a mower for the side decks. I know we're not, maybe we don't absolutely know. Gabby might be going back to City of Caldwell, but I would like to try to keep this piece of equipment in here as we have three lawnmowers that are 10 to 15 years old. They're pretty old. And this is something the fleet director and myself has had multiple conversations on looking at. We actually have one over in the shop now that blew a valve. So they're just getting old. They're used every week in the summer, you know, late spring and summer and early fall. Moving down, I left the meeting room. So the new training tables, we still need those as well. So I was going to split that in half, but it doesn't make sense to do half and have half the old tables, half the new ones in there. So I left that all in there. The chairs, I reduced that to just 50% of the chairs for now, enough to replace the chairs in here. And then I'd be able to repurpose these chairs in for the bigger, PNC meetings. So we can have those in the admin meeting room. The next one down, the new elections building, some desk and furniture for the new facility that should be finished up by February to March. The last one down here, the new boilers for the Del Hell main hot water. We will need to do this in the next 2 to 3 years for sure. As these things are run 24/7. And now with the new laundry room in there as well, they're going to even run more. Not next year, it's within the year after.
Okay.
So with those changes, there's one other one in here that I just got this morning. And after talking to the chief, if you look down to this one right here, this billing maintenance, and this where it says billing maintenance, $45,000. Having a conversation, did this come up? So I did not send this over yet. So this is new, and I will get this sent over with the additional updated description on this one. I just received this price. I've been waiting all weekend for it to add this. So working with the chief and going over, we weren't sure if we're going to try to use ARPA funds or what funds we're going to look at this. So what I need to do for this parking lot, I need to put a base down. I got to have some kind of base down for when it gets winter here. If I don't, it's going to be a muddy mess. But doing this base, I wanted to make sure whatever I put down can be used for the paving. So that's one step already done.
Right.
So again, I'm sorry. It took me a while because on the understanding, I was thinking we were going to use our time, and I was trying to figure this out, and at the conversation I had with the chief last week, he's like, hey, let's just put this in. I just got the amount in this morning. So sorry, it's probably something new, but I will get these all sent over to you guys after this meeting.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
When do you anticipate needing to pave it then?
So the paving will be the following year. This will get us through because I have to wait, well, probably in 26, because I have to wait for the new facility to be done, for the new sheriff's facility to be all the way completed. The reasoning is I can't, even shutting half that parking lot down and trying to do that parking lot, paving and stuff, we're gonna be hurting for space right now. And so once the facility's done, that'll eliminate, because there's 35 spots in this new building that'll take care of some of the parking, that I can do it in hopefully phases. Not only that, I got to go through the traffic commission in the city of Caldwell, because I would like to shut down 13th between Albany and the alley. So that way we can continue it. And I can't finish the other side of 13th because that's going to be the staging area for the new sheriff's building for Oakland Construction. So they're going to be in that lot. So that's why I'm just focusing on from 13th back to the existing parking lot, at least to do some kind of base and use it as a temporary parking, just a dirt parking lot, until this facility is finished. I would like to try to get in there sooner, but it's not possible, just with the needs in the space. So on the form before, I believe I was at 2,038,796. With all the reductions and adding that 45 in here, we're at 1,223,243. So we're almost a million, not quite a million, taken away.
Okay.
And that's pretty much all the capital. Any questions?
Mr. Chairman, I don't have any questions, but I am in favor of the adjustments. Not everybody's getting what they want, but it doesn't mean it's no, never.
Right. It's no, never, but
not
it's
yet.
Not right now. Yeah.
Chairman, I'll just say I appreciate the Director Britton prioritizing, and he understands probably this campus better than anybody and what the needs are. So Mr. Brooks has correctly identified it, that the budget has to be allocated. And so for me, looking historically at who's gotten things up to this point and what we need to do to get to where we need to go, if we can state that, I appreciate your efforts to continue to move forward. Demolishing the annex is huge, and that needs strategy and a phased approach. And that's what you're doing. Some of that PPE and other equipment that's in there, you now have space in the warehouse to store that. So that's a beautiful facility, and we can't do anything until it's cleaned out. So anyway, thank you for your efforts. It looks to me like you know, we're at about 815,000 in cuts.
Yeah, Mr. Commissioners, again, you know, we really vetted through everything and took our time, and, you know, just really looked at the higher priority stuff and the needs. So, again, it's stuff that is approved in the future. I mean, we're happy to bring it back in.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Are we going to accept that and put it into the...
I'm in favor, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Yes.
Let the record show that we'll accept that as presented, and we'll roll that forward into the budgeting process then. Yes?
Director Britton, that $45,000, what line item would you put that in on your budget?
The one that it's in right now, the 683340. And that, like I said, we just got this, and once I make those corrections on one line, I will update this and get it sent up back over to all of you guys.
Okay.
Again, I apologize for the last minute on the one for the parking, but I just got it this morning.
Right, and that's a staged, phased approach as well. It's a step in the process of.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Mr. Chairman, I don't think so. As long as the chairs from this room, when they're replaced and go over, replace the ones that need to be sent to the recycler.
Some of those chairs have done their service and need retired. So
yeah, Mr. Chair, we'll go through the ones that are really bad and we'll just get rid of them.
Okay.
But again, we have multiple P&Z hearings that are needing extra chairs almost on a
regular basis.
Yep. And so it'd be nice to store them on site over there and just be able to have them. So again, we reduce those, but we could have some later for future needs.
Okay. All right.
Chairman?
Yes.
Commissioners, thanks, Rick, for the presentation. I think what would be helpful is to know what are you looking at in FY 26 and 27, kind of what a 3-year, 5-year expectation of things that would hit. A part of the effect on our budget, Britton's budget just on the non-personnel side for this year, 24 was 3.6 million and 23 was 3.1 million, 3.1 and a half. But we applied about 1.6 million of one-time foregone to be applied to this year's budget that's not reoccurring next year. So the budget for 24 over 23 didn't go up by 1.6. So it almost, I wasn't part of the thought process here, but the 1.6 to be applied to this year's budget, while those projects were identified on the worksheet, the budget this year is still higher, or the budget for next year is still higher than this year without that 1.6 reoccurring. So that rolls off. So when we talk about 3.5 million-ish in new monies, it's really net like 2 million or less than 2 million because that 1.6 on the levy for this year comes back down. And that's already being absorbed just in one budget, like that increase. So that it's not to beat up on Britton. It's just there's a lot of needs in the county that, you know, I'm guessing that these needs were known a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and could have been forecasted. The concern I have is part of the deficit for FY25, at least the budget as is, is going in the wrong direction just in one budget alone. So that's a concern. Before we even get into personnel, just the capital stuff that this county needs. And so my concern is that the county, I wasn't around the last year, 3 years, what the thought process was staring down these capital needs in the county and to think through what the budget implications would be over multiple years. So what would be helpful is just to know, because I don't want to keep using the phrase, hey, we're going to use one-time money on one-time needs. Usually that means you roll back down to a baseline. But if the baseline is always growing upward and even then the one-time monies needs to be supplanted or replaced by ongoing revenues. So that's part of the pressure on the budget. And that's in no way to criticize Director Britton. It's just part of the challenge is staring at all of these needs. And some of these needs are being split between this year and next year. So it helps the budget, but it's not cost avoidance necessarily. And some of it is being pushed. So there's very little elimination of actual needs. These are still liabilities on the books as they were. So unless, you know, Director Britton disagrees that there's certain things that we're just never going to do that are, but it's really like deferred. We're deferring some of these items or splitting them over multiple years. So that does help if from a cash flow. It only helps if I know in year 2 and 3, we're going back down to, you know, a certain baseline. But if there's accumulated capital needs that are just compounding over the next 1 year, 3 year, 5 years, then that should be reflected in the budget decisions we make this year. And I'm not suggesting we use foregone again, but that might be another, that it's up to you to make that decision, because you lose it once you use that one-time use of foregone. It doesn't roll back over into the base. It just comes off the foregone amount. So, but these capital needs are kind of piling up. And that's just a concern I have. And then the reference to potentially ARPA applying to one of the projects and maybe not being able to be applied to that project is also just, you know, feeling a little more pressure of these capital needs with revenue streams that were one time, or once they're exhausted, they're gone. And just the pressure we're putting on that is just a concern, Chairman, Commissioners.
Mr. Chairman. So how much is the baseline increased with what's been discussed today versus last year?
Well, so this year's budget, at least if I'm looking right, was 3.6, and 1.6 was identified as use of foregone projects. And right now it's 6.2 in power plan. Now I know a million's rolling off, and 2 million of that is capital acquisition. So if you were to take that 2 million off, it's down to 4.2. And if you were to roll a million off, again, on the books for next year's budget, but we're going to spend more this year possibly because some of these projects would be split or just deferring, then we're probably back down to 3.1-ish or 3.2-ish range, which is 400,000 less on the books than this year, which is good. But that 1.6 of use of one time is still greater than that reduction. So I don't know. That was maybe more complicated.
Oh, I get it.
But if you roll that 2 million, because the 6.2 is really inflated by that,
sure,
2 million placeholder for capital acquisition. But and to be fair, I was referencing that as well and talking about the budget deficit. When you look at 3.6 to 6.2, at least as we stand, that alone is, you know, a $2.5 million increase just on the capital budget on the books as it stands. But we're going to roll a million off. And so that helps, but yeah, I just want to highlight the pressures coming on the capital needs in the county.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
I'll preempt it and just say the quiet part out loud. I see no way forward without taking foregone again. So I'm, and we've beaten Y like a dead horse, but it's fun to say it for previous decisions made by people sitting here and our lovely state legislature that may or may not know the ramifications for the decisions that they make and how they affect county budgeting processes. So, yeah, I am completely not only open to collecting foregone, but I fully expect it.
Chairman.
So there you go.
Ma'am. Thank you for your comments. And Clerk, thank you for what the reality is of what we're facing. I can say, sitting here for 5 or 6 budget seasons, that the long-range planning appeared to be absent prior. I do appreciate Director Britton, as well as former Chief Information Officer. Those are regularly a part of the budget presentations. So while the comment is that we're staring some of these down, we now have a realistic picture of what it is that we're really supposed to be doing. It's one thing to say that we're not going to take new construction and that we're not going to take a 3% increase, but as you've indicated, what that means is that we're delaying the maintenance and the liability for the county. It's unfortunate. I'm not for higher taxes, but I think that that pressure, that where it was coming to a head rapidly of what it is that we're experiencing for growth as opposed to what it is we've asked for the newcomers to pay for, that reality is here. And so I love our team, and I'm confident that they are competent and transparent, and the reality of where we're at in the county, the planning that needs to happen on the capital projects is not going to go away. The maintenance and repair on aging facilities is real, and then the ability to extend our campus in conjunction with the city of Caldwell and that cooperation, that takes long-term planning and a vision that's bigger than who's sitting in the seats today. I am for that kind of visionary leadership, but as our kid, our grandson was standing in front of the vending machine at the rodeo, my husband asked, what happens here? He said, well, Grandpa, it takes money. That's true for everyone, everywhere. It takes money to do what we're talking about. And in the absence of that kind of planning, it will continue to be crisis management, which we need good policy to drive practice. Chief Greg Rest. So, there you go.
Mr. Chair, Commissioners, I just want to kind of go off the Capitol, too. I think a lot of it, you know, there's a lot of counties that don't have detention centers as well and different facilities like we do. Again, Commissioner Van Beek was dead on with the age of a lot of our facilities. There's a lot of times I can start a budget and then there's a piece of equipment or something fails that I limp along into the next budget year and then put it into the capital. I can't foresee what that's going to be or what's going to happen. So it's a little frustrating when, you know, I know what I do. I know our buildings. And again, you know, when it comes to capital, yes, there's a few things I can see what's the future needs. There's a lot of times I don't know what the future needs are going to be because it'll hit at the last second or mid-year. And we do our best to not reopen the budget to make that change. And then we have to bring it into the capital. So again, there's a lot of different facilities that other counties or cities didn't have. You know, we got a detention 24/7 operations and stuff like that. It's difficult. I get where you're coming from on the Capitol. It just upsets me a little bit of like, okay, you know, there's a lot of unforeseen that can happen. And that's, we do our best and we do our, I think we do a very good job of what we do to get to keep our facilities operating. You know, and again, I am here to be a partner, work together, and look how we can address this moving forward. But it's always things that is just you don't know what's going to come up.
Yep, Chairman, and Rick, maybe you can jog my memory what it was, but you had a piece of equipment that wasn't budgeted for because you were limping it along. It was about $172,000. And it was an HVAC system on top of a building or whatever that was.
It was a chiller system on top of the jail.
Yep.
So again, when those go out, I have no choice but to replace them the following year. And again, these are 24/7 operations. And if we don't want to go back into a lawsuit, you know, it's, again, that's where it's hard for me just to justify or, you know, predict what's going to come up. It's kind of an IT world, you know, same thing. You just don't know.
You do a great job, and thank you. The knowledge that you have on the trades and the infrastructure in Canyon County's facilities is admirable.
I appreciate it.
On a slightly more positive note, Chairman.
With a smile on his face.
we will work on some sort of allocation worksheet that's not reflected in this budget. There'll be a modest revenue line that we hope to get from the state for PD's presence. Clearly, legislation says that they have free space, but it doesn't, based on Seth Gregg's feedback, his understanding doesn't cover utilities, water, electric, gas. And in our opinion, it would also be custodial services. So, Britton, we've met. We have kind of a preliminary idea of what that cost should be. So we're going to broach that with the state to ask who we send the invoice to and how they would like to be billed. But it's not a revenue line right now, and it might be something that gets added at the very end of the budget process based on what we hear from the state, if we hear a response back from the state.
Chair, can I give some more good news?
Sure.
There's three items on this capital list in the 680410, which is roughly about $16,500. This is going to be needed for the ambulance. So there's going to be revenues coming from the ambulance district back to facilities for that $32,000, $33,000, which will take care of these expenditures, a one-time upfront cost, and also be a savings on the district side on the ambulance. So there is a little bit of counter on that as well.
Thank you for that.
So when my two favorite state legislators call us, and they're angry about Forgone, they better have a better plan from the state side, because we're locked and loaded. Because I feel like I'm in a no-win situation. And then we also had the prior administration choose no new construction, and that was literally la-la land that we're getting to live in. And it's in several billion dollars worth of value. That's a billion with a B in Canyon County. So that's a pretty big deficit.
And Chairman, thank you for your comments. I did not support that. I know that.
We have to deal with where we're at right now.
Correct.
And so right now, we don't have a whole lot of good options. Steve, you have any thoughts? You get to see the pure numbers where...
This is affecting not only Canyon County, but the other 60 taxing districts that are trying to put together budgets for this year.
Thank you. That's important to know. Yeah. Yeah. So this is a legislative mandate down that's not dealing with real reality. And where we're living at from 292 will eventually have to be changed, no matter what pride they have in the bill. It's not reality, and it's had a collision course. The question is, how long will they let it go, and how bad will they let it be? I just watched a YouTube thing of a guy who goes from place to place, and he does personal interviews. And we're looking at Michigan and a bunch of these other Iron Belt places back east, and I see that they made a lot of consistently bad mistakes, and I hope Idaho legislature opens their eyes to what they're doing and helps us help ourselves and makes a good society.
Chairman, I don't want to pile on, but I've said it before, and I think it's just helpful as a reminder. For fiscal years 2017, 2018, 2019, the county, after super conservative budgeting in the years prior to that, took $2.8 million in Forgone, $1.4 million in Forgone, and $2.3 million in Forgone, so a total of $6.5 million in 3 years. That does roll over, that rolled over into the base. The rules for Forgone today are very different than they were in 2017.
Make that very clear. They're very different.
They're very different. And we're limited to 1% that we can add to Forgone that it gets to get carried over into the base. Back then, the county in 3 years was able to recover $6.5 million into their base to meet the budgetary needs. The narrative that I read from that time was that law enforcement needs were mounting and the county couldn't defer any longer. And so the county used Forgone to play catch up. And then the years following that, the county took more of back to that posture of holding the baseline. Actually, I think the county levied less taxes year over year for 3 years in a row. And now we're back into a catch up cycle. I'm just being blunt, but we can't do what the county did in 2017, 2018, and 2019.
We're into a catch-up cycle with the legislature already capping,
yes,
what percentage that we could catch up, which is not going to catch us up.
Correct.
Unable.
So we're just going to have to do the best we can, because that's our only option.
We we can look at the $2 million to be looked at differently in the budget than it is with this presentation and take that as a decision of the board to take that directly out of reserves and not deal with it. I don't think that's a reality to be dealing with it without showing that as a choice to pull money out of savings and to make a one-time purchase. So I'll just throw that out. It hasn't been spoken in that method.
Chairman?
Yes.
I would be remiss if I did not say that I appreciate the dedicated hours. Kyle Wilmont, Clerk Hogaboom, Sarah Winslow, Steve Onofre, Chief Operating Officer, and everybody that's supporting that to try and make this work. There's great minds with a lot of historical knowledge that are working diligently to make this provide excellence in service to the Canyon County taxpayer for the dollars that are levied for their taxes, and then to use the non-property tax revenue in a responsible way. I know there's a lot happening, and thank you. The amount of information that the board is receiving to try and make good decisions in a collaborative way with the financial minds is greatly appreciated.
Thank you. To the chairman's comments about this year, we will have a quarterly budget report that goes through June. But up to date through July 22nd, at least in Power Plan, for Britton, he had $3.6 million in change budgeted on the non-personnel side. He spent a little over $2 million, so it's showing $1.6 million left unspent. So I don't know if part of that capacity is maybe what you're looking at as far as some of the projects that you feel that you can knock out this year.
Mr. Chair, yeah, there's a couple big projects still going to happen this year.
Okay.
And it was just timing and trying to, we had some jury trials coming in, so we had to kind of work with that so that it'll be done in August. Again, by the time I get through the procurement process, and I'm not going to blame this on anybody, but by the time I get through the whole process, it's just taken months, and it's put me in a hole where I got to decide if I can get it done this year or I got to roll it over. So the procurement process takes a long time. So I'm not trying to blame anybody, but it's just the truth. So.
And, Mr. Chair, one of those examples is the fire project. The $250,000 that won't be spent this year, it's got to be now FY25 because of the delays and whatnot.
Right.
And I do have one more thing we haven't talked about is the last workshop in round one, we added $2 million for a land procurement. Well, I officially have an appraisal of that property of $1.705 million, so we want to make that adjustment. Drop it by $300,000 in that line item.
It would make sense.
It would make sense instead of doing a theoretical that's inflated. So let's list it as what we have the appraisal at.
We can't spend a dollar more than that appraisal, and then, so I get that number exactly to Sarah, and we'll just reduce it to that number. That way, we're like you're saying.
Okay.
That works.
Sounds good.
Sounds good. Let it be done. Okay.
Move on.
That was fun.
That was facilities. Are we ready for Weed Pest?
Yes.
Weed Pest will be simple.
You just jinxed it.
All right. So I'm just going to kind of jump to this one real quick. On the A side of it, I did have a meeting with the controller, the clerk, and with Sarah, kind of discussing actually the PD stuff, but then we chatted about a little bit about revenues for Weed and Pest and asking for a new position out there. Again, we go through this process so early, and sometimes it's like trying to figure out where I'm at year to date and stuff, and even year to date, we're killing it out there. So I want to raise my revenues from 132 to 180, and that should cover that new position. And I think they can beat that 180. But again, I got to get this person in there and see where I'm at. Again, I'm 1 year into this.
Right.
Where we have come in 1 year, I'm very, very happy with my staff out there. We have done some price increases. We are looking at a couple other ways to bring in revenues this fall. So again, we are pushing forward and doing everything we can to get the jobs completed, but and then keep the revenues up. It's not all about revenues. I mean, if I can't meet people's expectations or times, I mean, we're a month behind on spraying, and our complaints, we're about 30 work orders behind on just complaints alone. Again, that's just the amount of people that's moved into here, and we're in the rural area where weeds are growing everywhere. So a lot of noxious weeds, and we do have a statute that we have to meet. So it just, again, there's just takes time, and it takes a lot of resources to get things kept up. If there's no questions on that revenue.
Well, I would want to make a nuance. And because we have a weed and pest department does not mean that Canyon County government is solely responsible for your weed problem.
Absolutely correct.
We also have a state statute that we can't be in direct competition with independent sprayers and contractors that are doing very, I would say it isn't similar, is exactly the same service that we're providing. And so we're kind of in a rock and a hard spot that we have to be careful not to knowingly be undercutting private enterprise. Absolutely. So we're going to relook at that again. It hadn't been looked at for, was it almost two decades?
Almost
19 years, had not changed the rates. And so there is, to the people that were utilizing us, a knee-jerk reaction that, oh my gosh, suddenly you've changed the rates. Yes, we have. But we came to the painful conclusion that we were undercutting private enterprise unintentionally. And we will continue to relook at that and reassess that, because that's not the job of Canyon County to be the sole source provider for weed and pest.
Yep. Mr. Chair, you're absolutely correct. And I can tell you one of the biggest things is I get a lot, we pay taxes, the amount that everybody pays into weed and pest tax is like 0.002. It is like a penny.
Yeah, it's minuscule.
It's very, very small in that amount. So when... Well, what do I pay my taxes for? We still have to compensate what we do with running that facility, that business.
So I'll say this again, statistically, in 2020, when I first ran, there was less than 98,000 parcels. This year we're bumping at 108,000 parcels. That's a lot of new, primarily residential, but not always. And those people may move into the area totally unaware of the weed problem that a new lot, a bare lot, can potentially grow. And so it's a new paradigm for a lot of us. And so I just want to put that on the record. It's not like some of the years in Canyon County government where there was less than 400 or 500 new changes. We're looking at significant growth of most people from out of the entire area.
Chairman, I appreciate your comments. I think we're being consistent across the board and setting a new trend to just look at what fees for services should cost. And historically, where that hasn't been done, that, as you've indicated, does sometimes come as a surprise. But really, in the overall picture, if people that want that service are paying for that service, it should lessen the burden on the people that are not using that service. So that's just a different way to say it.
Okay. I appreciate the support. Thank you. Last one on here is, it was about, I believe, a month ago. Mr. Sender came down to the office. We are doing a new flight. There is some stuff so we do use GIS every day out in the weed pest world. They wanted our part of it was, I believe, like $10,400. So I would split that in between the two on weed and pest. So it'd be 5,200 on that line item for 53301 service contracts. I take that back, it was 10 grand, sorry. And we already had a little bit of some money in there, but the total will be 5,200 for both. So I just need to add, split that under that service contract. Again, that was something that kind of fell into our lap a little later.
Oh, okay.
So.
Yeah. It's a real cost and it's a real consideration anymore, so.
It is, Mr. Chair, like I said, we use that GIS for everything. Outboxes, gophers, where we sprayed, we outline everything. And just with the new format they have on this one too, will even give us like a street view, kind of a side view of properties. It'll be very nice.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, when we had the assessor workshop, this was mentioned about reducing theirs by 10,000 by putting it up over on Weed Pest. And so there is two flights that are in the county. One's provided by Compass, and then one is provided by Eagle View that we contract with. Eagle View, which Weed Pest uses, does the obliques, so does the angle and street views. That way, if there's any structures, any things they need to know about before they go out on site, that's where it's really beneficial.
So that's pretty much all I had. That's it.
Wow, you're only two. So you are not. But what do you need to say?
So some historicals right now, based on the weed budget, the weed control, and while Director Britt says the revenues will be looked at. Short of, we haven't determined what taxes to levy to it yet, right? So revenues outside of property taxes is 132 and the budget's 528. So there's about close to a $400,000 gap. We levied about 255,000, I think, last year, 255,000 into it. And every year over the last 6 years, they build a little use of fund balance. This year it was only to use 18,000. I've seen it as high as 60,000. But that $400,000 gap that needs to be addressed by levy taxes. So even if we increased our levy from 255 to 300,000, it would still leave a 100,000 gap. Now that gap would be closed, I think, hopefully by generating more revenue. But my hope was to be able to book a little more revenue. That would be a conservative anticipation. And I don't know if that's putting too much pressure because we can't. We can't have a, even if we levied 300,000, and again, there's levying pressure to apply levy taxes to other funds. But yeah, that's, right now that's a $400,000 gap. So
is that on weed or pest?
Just the weed control part. So I think those are some of the fees that you just referenced. And I also know that this is a mandated service that must be provided. So, but the levy is probably going to have to go up from 255. We'll have to determine that when we get to a later worksheet, but to close some of that gap. But even if we were to leave it at about a $60,000 gap, we would have to, you know, levy $340, which is about a $80,000 to $90,000 increase. Just that would be applied to the weed control. So those are other pressures. But I don't know if you have any increased projections on what you think the revenue would be, only conservatively, then that's something we could also update in PowerPoint.
As is, Mr. Chair, Clerk, I know by the time it gets in power plan, you're seeing what's in power plan. And so we keep accurate, you know, just kind of revenues too. Again, I didn't run this before. So this is our first year. Well, and then, you know, and there is some stuff that's went up, like chemical budgets went up, you know, for this new position, but for our workload, you know. So, I mean, there's a few things that we have increased that will take into account of this new position. So
Right now, just to note, like, your revenues were, the weed control fees are budget 120, and you've already brought in 124.
I can tell you it's way more than that.
Yeah, and more on the way, and we still have some time left in the year. So, but for budget purposes, I forgot how much you budgeted for. Was it about the same, 120 for FY25?
I went 132, but I just changed that to 180.
Okay.
That's what I was just asking, to change it to 180.
Gotcha. Okay.
So
that, again, that closes like to 350-ish, and if we were to levy close to 300,000, then I think we're good.
So 180 and 300 is what you would...
Yeah, roughly. I mean, we'll have to dot the I across the T when we get there. Their fund balance is also pretty good. I mean, that's... Right now, their fund balance is sitting at 305,000 as of June 24. So they have a fund balance that's healthy relative to their budget.
Okay.
Yeah.
And PEST is up there as well.
Okay.
Again, this is, we're looking at new options, new things. We've got wires and stuff just to try to bring in different options. Not, you know, our first year, I mean, it's just going to get better. So, I mean, you know, I see this really, the next 2 years, I mean, we'll be hitting a significant amount. And again, we're providing a resource or, you know, to the taxpayers.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. All right. Is there anything else? We'll put those changes in. Clerk, are you comfortable with that?
Yes. And I apologize.
No.
The 180, I wasn't suggesting it goes over 180. I missed the 180, so that was already a $50,000
increase. That's those arguments that I'm very comfortable with the 180, and I'd probably entertain a little bit higher. But if you're comfortable with that, we can stay with the 180 and see where we end up.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, I think it's somewhere, we're still newer into this. I don't want to throw a number out, then I don't hit it.
Right.
Now I'm going to get questions, why didn't you hit that number?
Right.
You know, so I'm trying to be realistic here of like, hey, you know, where, and if I can see where this is at going, you know, again, then I can keep increasing that. So I just want to get to where I feel,
right.
I just don't want the other side of it. Well, what are you doing? You know, why didn't you hit this?
Right.
There's so many objectives to the wind, the rain, the weather, you know, all of it. So there's so much that could, and yeah, so.
Nope. If you're comfortable with that, I think let's leave it at that. All right. Are we comfortable with moving this forward?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
All right. So let's put that into the plan, and we'll move it ahead.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Let's take a short break, and we'll be off to the next one here in a minute.